Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas to you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in the power of that manger, your word, Jesus, who is the word, became flesh. May that word once again come into our lives over and over today as we hear this word, inspired by your Holy Spirit, so that we may grow closer to you as you grow in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From our family devotional, Sunday, December 27th, go and see. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, Luke chapter 2. Once the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds had a decision to make. What should they do with what they had just learned? Why, go and see, of course. They would have arranged for their flock's safety at best that they could, and then away to Bethlehem as fast as possible they went to see what the Lord had given to them. And they found him, Jesus, the newborn Savior, lying in a manger exactly as God had told them. So again, they did what came naturally. They spread the word to all their friends and neighbors, telling them about Jesus and what the angel said to them. We can do that too. "Taste and see that the Lord is good," says the psalmist in Psalm 34. "Come and see," Philip told his doubting friend. We too can come and see, come and taste that Jesus is good. Come, and then we can share that news with people we love so they can have him too, trusting in the Savior who was born for them, who died for them, and who rose to give them everlasting life. That is a powerful story when you come to think about it, right? I mean, here are these angels out in the field, and they see these angels, and the angels tell them all about Jesus, and right away, as they tell about Jesus, they do the most amazing thing. They run to Bethlehem to see what they were talking about. I don't know, if I were one of those shepherds, I would have like, okay, what did we just smoke? What did we just drink? Are you kidding me? But no, they didn't. They knew it was the Lord because they said, "Let's go and see what the Lord has told us about." So with excitement, they ran into Bethlehem. They ran into Bethlehem and they found Jesus just as the angels had told them, just as the Lord had revealed to them. They found him lying wrapped in cloths in a manger. Pretty awesome, right? And on that peaceful night, they probably could have just stayed where they were and worshiped Jesus and spent time at Mary and Joseph, or they could have gone back to their fields and just pondered these things and kept them to themselves, but they didn't. No, when they left Jesus, they were inspired by this great love of Jesus, and they went and they told their family and their friends what the angels had told them, and that they found it that way in Jesus in Bethlehem. They went and told them. Don't you find it odd that God would choose simple shepherds? Simple shepherds to be the very first missionaries of the gospel? Think about it. They were. They were missionaries. In a sense, they were almost apostles. They had seen the message of Jesus, and then God sent them out to tell people about the love of God that had been born in that tiny manger for the world. The love of God that came for forgiveness and life in his death and in his resurrection. With excitement, they went out and told the world around them. These lowly shepherds. Pretty amazing when you think about it. But isn't that how God acts? He uses lowly people, weak people, broken people to tell the story of Jesus. If you look out throughout the genealogy of Jesus, if you look at the genealogy of Jesus himself, it's filled with prostitutes and adulterers and murderers, sinful people like you and me. And yet, God used that line to bring forth the gospel. If you look at God all throughout time, he hasn't used the PhD type theologians and all of those. Oh, of course he has, but you know what I'm talking about. The Pharisees and the scribes, the wise people who lorded it over everybody. He used the broken, the weak, the sick, and the lowly, the sinful, to spread the gospel. He chose them by hand. And you and I are chosen by hand to spread the gospel. No matter our sinfulness, no matter our past, no matter what we are or who we are, no matter what we've done, God chooses us in baptism to make us his children with the intent purpose that we will go and tell about Jesus. what our eyes have seen, what our mouth has tasted in the sacraments, what our ears have heard in the Word, we are called to go and to tell the world about Jesus. We are called to be disciples. We are called to be just like those shepherds bearing the good news. But wait a minute! I don't know what to say. But wait a minute, I'm not good at around other people. Wait a minute, I don't have time. Wait a minute, I have this excuse and that excuse. What would we have done if the shepherds came up with those excuses too? And if anybody could have said, we don't have time, if anybody would have said, we don't have the words to talk, it would have been those lowly shepherds. You see, we're good at making excuses. We're good at it. We don't have time, we don't know what to say, we don't know how to do it, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But brothers and sisters, it was revealed to us that those shepherds went and they told their loved ones and they told their friends. And that's simple, like you and me too. We begin with our loved ones, those closest to us and our friends, telling them how much Jesus loves them, sharing the gospel in our actions and in words when necessary. We don't have to go lord it over them and know what to say beautifully and beat them over the head with the Bible. That's not how it works. No, in action and in love, we go to them as the presence of Jesus, because you have been made the presence of Jesus as He chose you in baptism. You are Jesus to this world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put it under a lamp and light the lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in this house. Jesus says, let your light shine in the darkness, in the same way as the city on the hill, as the lamp in the room. Go and tell. Go and tell that you have tasted and you have seen, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the death and resurrection of Jesus, has come into your life. You are forgiven. Your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. In this meal of grace and God's unconditional love for you and His strength and His mercy for you, in this meal you have tasted and you have seen that the Lord is good. You have. And as the psalmist says, the psalmist, you see, he says, come and see and taste that the Lord is good. And then we know that Philip said to his doubting friend, hey, come on, let me show you this one, this Jesus. Come on, let me show you, because I found somebody awesome and good. And that same way, he was so excited and so passionate about what he had seen, that his eyes beheld, that he would go and reach those who needed Jesus too. And we do that as we share the gospel in our actions and in our words. We taste and see that Jesus is good in baptism as He calls us to face. We taste and see that Jesus is good in His Word. We taste and see that Jesus is good in the Holy Supper. We taste and see that Jesus is good as we see Him lying in the manger. We taste and see that Jesus is good as we see Him on Good Friday dying on the cross. We taste and see that Jesus is good as He raises up from the dead for our salvation, so that we will live in Him and He in us for all eternity. And that cannot ever be taken away from us. That is God's gospel promise to us. Brothers and sisters, more than those shepherds, those first missionaries, more than they saw, you have seen, because you have seen the completeness of God's salvation won for you and for me. It lives in you by virtue of your baptism, by virtue of word, by virtue of the Lord's Supper. It lives and dwells in you. Please, please go. Go and tell. Go and share. Go and be the presence of Jesus. Our world desperately needs you. It's falling apart around us. Churches are dying, and that's okay, because the gospel will still prevail. People are hurting and broken, afraid and lonely. That's not okay. They need you as the presence of Jesus. People are filled with hate and rage and anger and looking for God in places where there is no God, in highfalutin people or money and sex and drugs or even politics. That's not okay. They need you, because you have tasted and seen how good the Lord is, because you are forgiven and eternally loved. They need you. So once again this Christmas season, as you see in the manger the salvation of God, please ask God to show you how tomorrow to begin to be His presence to others. It doesn't have to start with words. In fact, don't let it start with words. Let it start in a relationship, in love, and in friendship. That's where it starts. It's that simple. Be a friend to someone today. Ask God to open your eyes. He will show you. The world depends on us right now to carry the news and message of Jesus. for that will change the world, just as it has changed you and made you God's child. In his name we pray. Amen.